Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of the early life of the Church of the Thessalonians, these poor new believers were not yet fully established in their mature understanding of the gospel. And it had entered into their minds that maybe their loved ones who had died before the second coming of Christ were going to miss out on the coming of the kingdom of glory. And they were being filled with despair and a sense of hopelessness because their loved ones who believed in Jesus didn't survive until the coming of the last day. And now they were going to, in their minds, miss out on the glory of the day of Christ. Now, this is an unfortunate misunderstanding, but it caused them, because they did not understand fully the doctrine concerning the coming of Christ, they were filled not with hopefulness and joy, but rather they were filled with despair. And so Paul writes to them chiefly to lead them in the way of truth so that they would not be hopeless. Now listen, we live in a time when everyone seems to be confused about the issues of life and death. There is great ignorance, even among Christians, about what is our hope and what is it that is going to take place by the good and gracious will of God. And the result of this is that many times we face the grief that comes from the death of our loved ones, and we face this with doubts, with fears, and with a sense of hopeless casting about for wishful thinking. And you know, the world of unbelievers around us, they love to deal with wishful thinking. One of the wishful thinkings that people have is that everybody goes to heaven except for the worst, worst, worst people. And of course, that is wishful thinking. It is not the gospel. Another way that people fill their hearts with wishful thinking is when they claim, once you're dead, and that's the end. Now, that may be comforting to an atheist. It may be comforting to the unbeliever to think that once you die, that's the end of you. But my friends, it is wishful thinking. It is not the Word of God. The Word of God said, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. All right? So the world has all kinds of wishful thinking about what happens when you die. And all those wishful thinkings do not comfort hearts and give people hope when they are faced with the grave and the gate of death. But there is something that fills us with comfort and hope, even in the midst of our sorrows and our troubles. And that is the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. And so St. Paul says here, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. There's two kinds of grief, two kinds of sorrow. The one is hopeless sorrow that is based on, at the most, wishful thinking and the despair that comes from that. But then there is another kind of sorrow, no more pleasant in its pain, but nevertheless grounded in hope, because it believes in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. And so, there are three notes of comfort in today's epistle. Number one is this: the death and resurrection of Christ is the ground, the promise, and the beginning of our resurrection from the dead. Now, what does this mean? I think I've told you before numerous times that when you read the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus dies on the cross and there is a great earthquake and people come out of their graves and appear to people in the city of Jerusalem. And it's a very strange passage of Scripture. And it tells us just enough, but it doesn't really tell us a lot to satisfy our curiosity. But what it does tell us is this: it is saying to us that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of the end of the world. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the promise that when we die, we will also be raised from the dead. So our hope in the resurrection of the dead is based on the fact that A, Jesus rose from the dead, and that Jesus' resurrection is a portent of the end to come, and that it is the beginning of our resurrection from the dead. Now, the other thing is this: there are two kinds of resurrection. There is a spiritual resurrection and a bodily resurrection. The spiritual resurrection is what happens to you in your baptism. It's what happens to you when you are brought to faith in Christ by the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus speaks about this in John chapter 5. Jesus says this: "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." All right? Now notice what Jesus is saying. He's not talking there about the resurrection on the last day. He's talking about dead people hearing the voice of the Son of God, and when they hear it, they come to life. And what is that talking about? It's talking about the preaching of the gospel and the conversion of the soul to faith in Christ and the gift of eternal life. So you and I, as believers in Jesus, we have already experienced the spiritual resurrection from the dead. Then the Lord goes on and he says this, listen. He says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." Notice he doesn't say, "and now is." He says, "the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And now in this passage, the Lord is speaking about the resurrection of the dead on the last day, or as we confess it in the Apostles' Creed, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. All right? So here, there are two kinds of resurrection. We as believers have already experienced the first one, and we await the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of the body on the last day. And the Bible promises us this: because he lives, we shall live also. And nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So when in our epistle text it says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What Paul is saying to these Thessalonians and to us is, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the guarantee that anyone who dies in Christ will not miss out on anything, but that they will rise from the dead and enjoy all the blessings of the kingdom of glory. All right? That is comforting word of God number one. Comforting word of God number two is this. The Christian dead are rightly said to be asleep in Jesus. Right? Notice how Paul talks about those who have died. He's talking about the Christians who have died, not the pagans, but the Christians who have died. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about Christians who have died, and he refers to them as being asleep. And also in the next verse it says, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So what Paul does here in this passage, and he mentions it again at the end of verse 15, is he talks about the physical death of Christians as being asleep. Why? Because he wants you to know that temporal death is a temporary thing for the Christian believer. Just like you go to bed at night and you wake up the next morning by God's grace, so it is when you are planted in the earth. On the day of the resurrection, you will rise again bodily from the dead. All right? So he speaks of Christian death as sleeping in Jesus. So what happens is this. When you die physically, when you die, your body lays in the earth and it does what bodies do. Your soul, however, goes to paradise to be with Christ, which is far better than anything in this life. And so therefore, even though your body sleeps in the grave, your soul is with Christ in paradise, waiting patiently and joyfully for the last day, when Christ will come down from heaven with a shout, and when he will raise up the bodies of the dead, and their souls and their bodies will be reunited together. And so here in this text, when he's talking about the fact that the dead are sleeping in Jesus, the emphasis here is that for the Christian, death is but a temporary reality, and it will be swallowed up by resurrection, glory, and eternal joy. All right. That's number two. Number three, and finally, Christ's coming on the last day will be a joyful ingathering. All right? First, Christ comes down in glory. Notice that the text says in verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. So there will be a visible, powerful, glorious return of Christ in glory to judge the living and the dead. So that's the first thing that will happen. On that day which is known to God, but not known to us, When the right time comes, the Lord Himself will return in power, in glory, and in victory with a shout of triumph and with the trumpet of God, and He will return to gather His own to Himself and to judge the living and the dead. All right, so that's number one here. Number two is this. When the Lord returns, it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay? So the first thing that will happen is that all of our Christian loved ones, all those who died believing in Jesus, their bodies will be raised up from the dead, reunited with their souls, and gathered in the presence of Jesus in the air. So the Lord Jesus will come down and He will gather, He will raise the dead and gather them around Himself. That's number two. Number three is that those Christian believers who are alive at the time of Christ's second coming will not die and be raised from the dead, but they will be immediately transformed and glorified and caught up and gathered with Christ in the air to join their previously dead brothers and sisters. So the resurrection of the dead begins, number one, with the dead being brought back to life and gathered to Christ. And number two, the living Christians being transformed and glorified and caught up to be with Christ. And so they will surround Christ forever. And then all the rest of the unbelieving dead will be raised in order to be judged. All right? Now, so let's just review this quickly. Christ will come in glory and in power. Number two, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Number three, the living believers will be glorified and gathered together so that around Christ will be the entire church triumphant. And the Bible says this. The last word on the subject is this. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the Lord is going to gather us. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to glorify and transform the living. His people by faith in the grace of God will be gathered to Him and will be with the Lord forever. Now this is a far more worthy thing than all the wishful thinking that the world can offer. This is grounded in what happened, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul's desire in teaching us these things is that though we must grieve in this life, it should not be the kind of grief that ends in despair, but a grief that is tempered by a hope in the fulfillment of the Word of God. And that's why Paul ends by saying, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, remember, the death and resurrection of Christ is the guarantee of your resurrection. Remember that when you die, you sleep in Jesus. And that means that death is not permanent. It is a temporary thing. And third, the coming of Christ on the last day will be a joyous and glorious ingathering of all the faithful from every time and place. Comfort yourselves together with these words. Amen.